I want to be still continuing to share on the book of Esther this morning, but I want to start with a couple of scriptures that are outside of that book. The name of the title of what I want to share is, Who Shall Reign With Him? Who shall reign with him, with Jesus? So let's begin in 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll read these two scriptures first, and then we'll go to the book of Esther. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll just read verse 11 and 12. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Verse 12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. And then over in the book of Revelation, just chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Also two verses. Revelation 1, verse 5 and 6. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loveth us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now back over to the book of Esther. You notice those both of those scriptures deal with us reigning with him. We always say that. We say that it deals with us reigning with him, but it doesn't. It deals with those who reign with him. It doesn't necessarily deal with us who reign with him. It deals in the scripture with those who will reign with him. Yes, that may include us. But we have to be realistic that that was in the Bible before we ever existed. And it deals with a whole lot of people. We've been studying a bit in the book of Esther. We've noted that the book of Esther is about, is a picture to us of Christ and his bride. And we see there, and in the last several times that I've shared, I've given good reason why we can call this that. And it's dealing with a king and his bride, who is the queen. And the queen's name at the onset of this book is Vashti. We know, and we'll get into some of the scriptures, that there was an incident where the king called for her and she didn't come. We talked about that last Sunday. And we began to see a difference between the reactions of a bride and the reactions of a queen. And that a queen is supposed to be a bride first to him. And so we went through all of that. But we want to look a little closer at this thing. And it's funny, every time that I get ready to share, it seems to line up with certain things, certain places that we're at spiritually where the Lord is dealing with us. But, you know, the Lord began this sharing. I don't even know now what, you remember what month we were in Ireland, Jim? June? No, May. Yeah. And there the Lord began to deal with me, and then I shared in a couple of sessions there in Ireland. We shared out of the book of Revelation. We called it Progression from the Church to the Bride. And but then the Lord took me after that into the book of Esther, and I believe this follows the book of Revelation. I believe that the basic flow and progression follows the book of Revelation in the book of Revelation's setting forth from start to finish the church as she metamorphoses, as it were, into the bride. And then the book of Revelation ends with that theme, the bride, Jesus and the bride. And it speaks, and we see it in the scriptures, but it speaks of our relationship with Christ. It speaks of not just to women, but to men. It speaks of the, you know, I always go to the first commandment because, you know, when they asked Jesus about it, what's the most important commandment? You know, he said to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and strength and might. And and I believe that that is addressing not Israel when the commandment was given, because they were the exact opposite when they received that on Mount Sinai or from Mount Sinai. They were not, you know, and by the way, it did call Israel in the New Testament the church in the wilderness. So they were more the church than they were the bride. And the words were given to somebody who didn't have that heart yet. The words were given to them when at their best they would try to fulfill that first commandment. But it's really not hard for a bride that loves her husband to do that, because that's what they do. That's what you do. And so so they made a progression into the promised land. In the book of Esther, I began to search in this months ago, actually. And had the basic layout before I started my times of sharing with you. But each time I share, the two times I've shared thus far, there were those who could have felt, well, he's just talking to me. No. If the Lord's talking to you, that's fine. But as we go through this, I'm just sharing what he gave me beforehand. I try not to meddle. Some of you who've been around for a while know that I don't preach the problem. I don't preach the problem. You know why? Anytime the preacher sees a problem in the church and preaches at it, it usually gets worse. Now, I've found that to be true, so true that I don't preach the problem anymore. I preach Christ. I preach the answer, you know. Well, I remember one time, Mike probably remembers this, over on Bolivar, and I started preaching on tithing, and the tithes went way down. I went, okay, won't preach on that again. You've never heard anything from me, have you, since then? So, There is this word that the Lord has for us, and we've been talking about it today in worship and in the things that have been shared prior to me getting up here. And it is the heart of the King. It is the heart of the groom. It is the heart of Jesus. It is not religion, nor is it deep teaching, profound teaching that is to impress us or make us feel spiritual or any of that kind of stuff. We're trying to find the heart of the Lord. We're serious. We're serious. And it is a heavy, heavy, heavy burden upon my shoulders as pastor. And I pray constantly. But at the same time, I realize that the Lord's talking to me as much as He is you. And so I also press into the Word. I also pray, Lord, I don't pray for me. I pray for what His desires are, would be formed in me. We probably need to buy two of those machines now. All right, Book of Esther, chapter 1, beginning with verse 15 to the end of the chapter. And what shall we do unto the queen? Vashti, I want you to notice that words. What shall we do unto the queen, Vashti, according to law, because she hath not performed the commandment of the king Ahasuerus by the chamberlains? Excuse me. Verse 16, and Memucan answered before the king and the prince, Vashti, the queen, hath not done wrong to the king only, but also to all the princes and to all the people who are in the provinces of the king Ahasuerus. Now, I want you to pay close attention to the wording, because the wording is incredible, first of all, and second of all, it's very important. I just took one of those and it didn't do, but thank you. Verse 17, for this deed of the queen shall come to the attention of all women, so that they shall look with contempt upon their husbands. What the queen has done is going to reflect back on brides. Not queens, but brides. Their husbands, when it shall be reported, the king Ahasuerus commanded Vashti the queen to be brought in before him, but she came not. Likewise shall the ladies of Persia and Media say this day unto all the king's princes who have heard of the deed of the queen, thus shall there arise too much contempt and wrath. If it please the king. So there is this element that is always brought in, that it is not about pleasing the bride, it's not about pleasing the queen, it's not about pleasing the people, it's about pleasing Jesus. Okay, but now that's contrary to a whole lot of Christianity, at least that I've been exposed to, because most of it is the king pleasing us. That's what it's about. Getting Jesus to please us. Well, I'm not happy with this. I'm not happy with that. And our prayer lives are primarily focused and built around pleasing us and getting Him to do it. I mean, wouldn't it be ashamed to stand before the Lord and He played back all the prayers we prayed and said, what was the theme? I was the servant and you were the king or queen. That's Jesus talking. I was the one that you always came to and said, fix this, make me happy, do this for me, do that. And then He starts playing them back and we say, well, God, I hate this. I was a Christian for 40 years. You know, this is going to be really bad. And how many prayers did we pray that they were about pleasing Him? We said, what was about pleasing Him? Make me better. You know. Well, not really. Okay, not really. Because it's the focus of our heart. What was the real focus behind that? Make me better. Not be pleased with me being what you want. You get the point? I mean, when you're before the Lord, you'll get the point. It'll be real clear. It'll be like, oh my God, stop the recording. He goes, it's not a recording. It's an eternal whatever. See, we have no word for it. It's not a CD. It is just the recorded for all eternity where our emphasis was. And I'm not just talking about where in prayer. I'm using that as an example. I mean, there are people that do things around here, and thank God for it, but most of you that know me know it's never been, for me, it's not about doing things. Do whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Some people, I want to please the pastor, or some people, I want to please, someone else. I want to, or please, I want to impress, or I want to make them think that I'm spiritual. I don't know. I don't know. You know, you haven't been here the whole time I have, but I've seen a lot. And I do, you go, well, aren't you happy, Brother Randy, that something got done? Not if it's not to the glory of God. No, I don't want anything in here or that we have that has been given of God that now we're using for just us. Is it possible to mow to the glory of God? And I've told the story, but when I first got saved and I went to, I was in the army for a while and then got out and hippied around a bit. And then I got saved and then I went to Bible school. And one of the first things they called on the Bible school students to do was dig a ditch. And I remember in that ditch going, praise God, I'm digging a ditch to the glory of God. In the army, I had dug plenty of ditches. And it didn't do nothing for me. I hated it. But I was going, I'm doing this for Jesus, And we can get in the habit and, we can get in the habit of just doing stuff. Well, I'm a Christian, so I do it. I'm a Christian, so I do it. Being a Christian really can cover, it's so generic, it can cover so much. Being a bride or being, having a heart after God like David, how about that? I mean, I personally think David had a bride heart, but that's me. He wasn't feminine. He was a man of war. He'd take your head off, okay? He couldn't build a temple because he was a man of war. He was a manly man. My God, did he love Jesus? Did he love Jesus? And I'm going to sit here and talk and run all my time away. But I just want us to comprehend where we're going with all of this. I don't, it needs to be rehearsed. In the Bible, Moses rehearsed the word to him a lot. Here's the deal. And it's about the heart. And, I can appreciate everybody's not fully in tune with that. Right now, that doesn't particularly bother me. As long as there's two or more in the mouth of two or three witnesses here, I believe it can be established. But I also believe that we have to maintain that heart. We can't be jumping in and out and jumping in and out. This is. Well, I don't. I can really go off. Lord, just help me here. We need the Spirit of God to be on us and in us, moving. We need, this is not going to, you can't keep this up for any length of time without praying, Spirit of God, come, make me a part of what you're doing. And and not looking just to the gatherings. The gatherings, hopefully, is like throwing some gas on your little flame or big flame, whatever it is. And yeah. But, you know, you can go out the door and 2 days later, it's like back to a little flame, you know. I'm not the igniter. I'm not the, you know, but the Holy Spirit is, and man, does he love Jesus. And man, does he want to glorify Jesus. And you're not going to get any more pure word than you're going to get from the Holy Spirit. All right, so let's just go ahead and read through this. Verse 19. If it please the king, let there be a royal commandment from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes, that it may not be altered, that Vashti come no more before King Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal estate unto another who is better than she. And when the king's decree which he shall make shall be published throughout all of his empire, for it is great, all of the wives, this is talking about that which is married or joined. This is talking about bride or wife. And remember, that's what it says in the book of Revelation when, you know, the angel said to John, have you seen the bride, the wife of the Lamb? The wife of the Lamb. This is what's joined for eternity. This is what the bride has joined. Not just Jesus, not just Jesus of Nazareth, not just the Savior, not just the healer, not just the blesser. Because in eternity, you say, well, the Lamb is the healer and the Savior and the blesser and everything. Well, in eternity, there's not going to be any more sickness. So he's not going to be doing that. And there's not going to be any more unsaved people. So he's not going to be doing that. So what the heck kind of person is that Lamb? You know, I mean, I'm not putting any of that down, but I tell you what, you know, we need an eternal relationship with Jesus, not a temporal one based on my needs. And yes, if I get sick or my wife or somebody gets sick, I'll pray for them. You get sick, I'll pray for you. I'm all in for all of those things. But that's not him. That's what he does. And you can spend your whole Christian life thinking you know him, and you don't. You know what he'll do for you. I know what Jesus will do for me. I know all about it. Brother Randy, you don't need to tell me nothing about Jesus. I know all about him. Maybe you don't. Maybe you only know what he'll do for you. Maybe you only know temporal ministry. But the bride, that's the progression from church to bride. Church is the called out ones. Church is the healed ones. Church is the saved ones. Church is that. But that the transformation takes place from caterpillar to... The caterpillars still have the same thing. It's the same DNA. It just... crawling around more in the dirt than the butterfly is. That's all. And there is this, but what is the transformation? Well, we say, well, one day I'm going to get wings. Oh, praise God, I want to be a butterfly. I don't want to be a caterpillar. One day I'm going to get wings. Actually, the metamorphosis is described in the scriptures, and that exact word is used in the Greek, but it's usually translated transform, but it's the same. It is the metamorphosis, and the metamorphosis, folks, is being changed into his same image from glory to glory. It's not flitting around, you know, I like it up here, you know. It's not, you know, well, you're not up there, you know, you're not reigning. As long as you don't comprehend who you are in his mind. See, in the Lord's mind, he's looking at Vashti and he's saying, that's my wife. He's not going, oh, that's the queen. Oh my God, it's the queen. You know, she's royalty. Not thinking that. I mean, he knows she's the queen, but he's not thinking she's royalty. She probably wasn't royalty before she married him. Just like Esther wasn't royalty before she married him. But she became that. She became that. All right. And so Verse 20, and when the king's decree, which he had, which he shall, oh, I think I read that, didn't I? Or did I? Okay. Verse 20 then. And when the king's decree, which he shall make, shall be published throughout all the empire. Yes, I did. 21. For the saying pleased the king and the princes, and the king did according to the word of Memucan. For he sent letters into all the king's province, into every province, according to his its writing, into every people after their language, that every man shall bear rule in his own house, and that it should be published according to the language of every people. All right. So this is universal. This is a universal decree. And what is the universal decree? What is the universal decree? The universal decree is, church member, you're not a queen. You're a bride. That's what it's talking about. That was it. This queen did this, and it reflected badly on what a bride was supposed to be. And we're not talking about earthly marriage and all that kind of stuff. We're talking about how we should relate to Jesus. Okay? I'm not preaching a sermon on your marriage. I'll let the Holy Spirit do that. Actually, I may be, but it's not intentional. All right. So these counselors with the king had to deal with the queen, not the bride. They're dealing with the queen. Don't let her come anymore before the king. But because they had to deal with her as a queen and where she's off, it also messed up her relationship as bride. Can I get amen? And it also was messing up a bunch of other people's relationship. Because something was wrong, and it spurred and built something wrong in others that were lesser or growing up, as it were, into this reality. So you see this close connection, and you see it here, but you see it in the scriptures also in other places. But you certainly see it here in Esther, this close connection between and a relationship of how this this reigning with Jesus and this being his bride works together. Remember, we're talking about reigning with Jesus. This queen and bride thing, there's this unusual relationship that is affecting one another. So, why does the story of Vashti exist in here? Why is it here? It's put into the word because a bride did not know how to reign properly. She didn't know how to reign properly. You know, folks, we're talking about you, remember? Guys, also, you know, we might get authority, we might do things, but if we're not doing it right, we're already violating the very thing that God's trying to do right now in our midst. We're violating his decrees, no, his heart. Remember, we talked about that in the very first thing, that she didn't just fall, Vashti didn't just fall from grace, she fell from his heart. And we made a big deal out of that. Anybody remember that? We made a big deal out of how big this thing is. And then why is it a big deal, brother? Because it's a big deal to him. And it's time we find out what's the big deal with his heart instead of just going, well, I don't understand it, so he'll forgive me because he's real forgiving. You know? And it's okay, it's just Jesus. He always forgives. I can run over the top of him. Not in this season. This is his season. This isn't ours. Remember, we had ours. Anybody remember? And he served every need that he could in our lives. But now it's his season. And our hearts have got to start changing in that direction. and come to that where it's settled within us what we're about and who we are first, because we're not queen first. Remember, that was last Sunday. I talked about it. I said she wasn't queen first. She was bride first. But now she's queen first. Now Vashti won't come because she's busy doing ministry to the, you know, to the other women, which scares the fool out of me. Well, I mean, that's where she was at. She's in there with all the women of the empire because the king's got all the top leaders and guys. And she in front of them, but these, remember, this decree was going out to all the provinces all over the place. But she's in there and she's got a ministry to the women. And the Lord's going, this is not good. This is not good. This isn't going the direction that I was wanting it to go. Because the king has a plan for his bride. So she's missing something. Vashti, and, you know, here's the funny part of that, is that you know, it's like the book of Proverbs. Almost every proverb in the book of Proverbs says, a good man does so-and-so, so-and-so, but an evil man or a bad man does this. And we always go, I'm the good man, I'm the good man. So we never, you know, I mean, we always do that. That's us, you know. We never go, you know, I'm reading the book of Proverbs and I'm the bad man all the way through. You know, you're not the good man, Jesus is. We're the bad man, people. We haven't figured that out yet, you know. Well, we kind of do that in other places. So here we are in Esther, and we go, I'm Esther. You know, I'm Esther. You know, oh, I know who in this room or on my job or whatever. I know who's Vashti. Yeah, I know who Brother Randy's talking about. And I know he knows. See, I got news for you. We're all Vashti until we're conformed to the image of Christ. And that's what God's trying to do, and he's trying to bring us into that. So anyway, Vashti is missing something that's really important, and it requires partaking of the Lamb. Remember the scripture that we read in 2 Timothy? If you suffer with him, you will reign. If you're dead with him, you'll live with him. See, that's partaking of the Lamb. I am crucified. No, I'm not just crucified. I'm crucified with Christ. I'm partaking of Christ crucified. Amen? I'm partaking. I'm not just teaching. I'm not just learning. I'm not just talking. I'm partaking. And if you partake of him in death and in... it's funny. See, suffering didn't come first in that scripture, and it makes perfect sense. If you're dead with him, then you'll live with him. If you suffer with him, you'll reign. Okay. Well, wait a minute. Well, dead with him is I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. But suffering with him is bearing the things that he goes through by the Lamb's Spirit. That's having fellowship in the sufferings of Christ. It is being with him in that stuff that you go through instead of him being with you. Can you see the difference? Because we're not suffering with Christ then, if we're getting him to get us out of our sufferings that are brought because of his nature. It's so funny because that's the thing that makes us righteous in our own eyes, is something comes our way and we're literally, it's not our, we didn't do anything wrong or anything, we're just with Jesus. And that makes us more self-righteous, like, well, this shouldn't be happening. you're wrong. I'm at least with Jesus. You're not with Jesus. And this thing rises up that refuses to suffer with him because we're not partaking of his sufferings. We're just suffering and reacting and not liking and wanting him to fix. And he's going, I was sure hoping you'd be with me in this one. I've really been working with you here, been working with you, and I was hoping this one would have made a difference. But you'd have seen it coming and gone. Praise God. I'm with you, Lord. I just love you. I just love you. Just want to be with you. My life is this, Jesus. I just want to be with you. That's bride talk. Watch out. That's bride talk that says you're everything and anything else that happens is, you know, but see, that's the deal. Queen or king or whatever title that you want to function under, you want to fix everything down here, and he doesn't want to fix anything down here. Jesus didn't come to change everything down here. He came to get a remnant. What's that remnant? What is it? Well, it ends up being the bride, but it is that which was partaking of him down here in this stuff, not trying to change all this. Slap me once, bam, slap me again. I'm going to be with the Lord. I'm going to really pray for you. Not, you know, we bless those who curse me. Lord, I just bless those that curse me, and I can just deal with them because they're so wrong, and I'm so hurt, and oh my God. Excuse my ways, but blood and vomit are a horrible mixture. You're bleeding because somebody wounds you, and then you're vomiting out prayers that are not after his spirit and not after his nature. How are we ever going to get there? I'll tell you how. You should read the book of Revelation in light of what we're talking about here. Because there's some junk you're going to have to be put through, not to get rid of sin, but to find a true appreciation for Jesus, for the Lamb, for the one that we're joined to. All right. So in verses 16 through 18, that deals with the decree. That's her queen influence that they're talking about. Her queen influence is destroying the bride relationship in others. And it's not. And there's, what are they saying? It's not good for the kingdom. It's not good. So the counselors, they're wanting to replace what? The exact wording. They're wanting to replace the queen, aren't they? Because that's what they're really dealing with. It would be a tough sell if they were coming to replace the bride. But that the wording was never really brought up. It's like, we need someone to replace her. But they refer to her as the queen. She's the queen. She's not the bride. We need someone to replace that spirit. We need another spirit on the throne. We need something else to reign. Will we reign with him? Anybody remember the first scriptures we started with? Will we? Well, if we get to that far, we'll see that reigning with him is not what we thought it was. It's not at all what we thought it was. And the scriptures bear it out one after another after another. But I don't want to jump too far ahead. Okay, so the counselors are wanting to replace the queen because her manner of reigning or her manner of being in charge . Remember, we're not just talking about females here, we're talking about us, reflects badly on what the bride should look like. It influenced, what did it do? It influenced brides to act like queens. That was what they said. Well, if we don't deal with this, here's what's going to happen. All the brides are going to be acting like queens. Isn't that the real situation? Remember the actual situation, and they're pointing to that, and then they're pointing to brides, and they're saying they're going to be like queens and not like brides if we don't do something. And we got to do something with Vashti. We can't have that spirit reign anymore. So, and then verses 19 through 22. Was this universal thing throughout the whole kingdom? It was universal. The decree was universal. It is, the issue is how everyone would relate as brides or as queens, and we gotta order this thing. And it goes across the board, so this decree has to go throughout the whole kingdom. It has to do that. And they're viewing that as, the counselors are viewing that as, she is a mockery to what a bride should be. She's a mockery to that. She's not just a rebellious queen. Okay, see the difference. See them up here? I got two hands raised. One is, she's a bad queen. That's the way we would see it. She's a bad queen. The other one is, she's a mockery to the bride spirit. Big difference. We can just read a story and go, oh, well, she's a bad queen. Let's replace her. That wasn't the issue at all. The issue was how the bride was using her authority. So, in this case, because the situation that they're dealing with is a queen, then they have to seek for a new queen. They got to find a new queen. The king can't have someone to reign with him. Can't allow that. That doesn't have his mind or doesn't have his ways or doesn't have his heart. Who shall reign? Who shall reign with him? He can't afford to have something reign different than the way he reigns. He can't. It's detrimental to the kingdom of God. I mean, the kingdom is supposed to be the king's rule. Anybody remember another sort of queen named Jezebel? Ripples go through. You know. Well, the king was king, but the king wasn't king. The queen was king. So, if Jesus is king, and you remember what I said a couple of weeks back, I think. I said something like, it is not right for us to sit and worship the one on the throne when in the way we act and the way we run our lives outside of this, we dethrone him all the time. We take him off the throne then. But we come to church, we go, I worship the one on the throne. He's going, no, you might worship me. You worship me because I'll stand over here and won't just kill you. Or, you know what I mean, do something that'll shock your world or... Do you have any bread with it? It's grape juice, so it's a big communion glass. Scriptures say drink ye all of it. Oh. It's not grape juice. Woo! That crinkled my mustache. Woo! Thank you, brother. Thank you. All right, so, but for the king, he's not seeking a new monarch. You understand his heart. So you have to understand his heart. He's not going, well, I'll find a new monarch. He doesn't want a monarch. He wants a bride that can carry forth his heart. He's not looking for people. Oh, anybody want to take the position of, you know, a bunch of hands go up. Oh, let's see. I've got several to choose from here. This is exciting. No, he's not looking for that. He's looking for a certain kind of heart. And if he can get that, and he got it in Esther, didn't he? We're just barely started. We haven't even got to Esther yet. They haven't even mentioned Esther yet in the book so far. We don't even get to the second chapter until she gets mentioned. But we're finding that this thing between a monarch and a bride, or someone who can rule, or someone who can, you know, has power to make decisions, as opposed to someone who has suffered with him and knows how to do that in such a manner that ultimately he'll let it reign. Right? So he's not seeking a monarch, but on another hand, he is seeking a different one. But he's got to be a queen. So, for the king, though, to gain a bride, what does he have to give up? Truthfully, he has to give, you know, he has to give himself in oneness. Because to him, he's not giving a position. Now, anybody here, just be honest, you don't have to raise your hand or shout it out. But anybody here ever been upset because you weren't in a position you thought you should be in? Don't raise your hands. I don't need the discouragement right now. I'm going to try some more of this. Wow. Well, the king doesn't want to give a position. He wants to give himself. He wants to impart himself. He wants an impartation to happen so that we're partakers of his death. He wants us to partake of his sufferings. He wants us. Why? Why would he? You know, that's crazy. Think about it. This is Jesus. He won the victories, got the victory. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And yet, the main thing he talks about wanting us to partake of is his death and his sufferings. Hey, I want you to join with me in this. And you go, what? You're the king, man. I don't jive that way, man. You know? He says, here, let's partake of communion. You know, eat my broken body. Drink my poured out life. This do, and remembering how I am. Every time you do it, call to remembrance what it is you are and what you're of. Let it not just sink into your brain, but infiltrate your system. You know, I can't answer all of that. I can only answer this. He's the king. And he's got every right to say, here's what I want you to partake of, because this is going to ultimately build my kingdom. My kingdom will be built on this spirit, lamb on a throne, slain lamb on a throne. I don't even know if I have it right here. But I just probably can't see this, but I just drew this, painted it a couple of days ago. It took me several days. Let me see if I can bring up the brightness here for you. But I think that this is the picture I've always pictured when it says Lamb on a throne. It's a bloody, it's not a little crisp little fresh lamb sitting on a throne. It's not a, you know, even a lamb sitting there, but it's got some blood and a few little spots, you know. But it's a cute little lamb. It's Jesus, the slaughtered, slain, selfless Jesus that gave himself. And you notice I didn't put him on a big, bright, shiny, glorious jewel throne either. But I saw it as just that what's enthroned, not the throne, what's enthroned is what's important to God. And that's his spirit. Now, if we could see him that way, if we actually saw him that way, we go, oh my God, this is what I'm married to. You know, this is what he wants. This is what, you know. And I was just so pleased that the Holy Spirit allowed me to finally, after all these years, to put down. You know, to be able to put it down in some sort of a practical way of what I've felt for such a long time. All right, let's see. Lost my place here. All right, I might just need to. All right, so what does it require? What does he have to give of himself? He has to give himself. And he wants, what does he gain? What is, you know, what does he require in what he gains? He requires a union with him. Not a union in teaching or doctrine, but a union with him. He requires a bride. Do you see that? He's not going to marry some foreign woman. Solomon might, but Jesus is not going to do it. And it's not only a bride that pleases him, but it is that which can rule with him. That which can rule with him. All right. So how much time do I have, actually? Yeah. 7.5 minutes. So 7.5 minutes. Okay, quick. All right. How about we just go through some scriptures and let me see how many I got. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. How about we just go through some scriptures where we begin to take the story of Esther, or the actually up to this point, the story of Vashti and Esther, so that we can see what it is that reigns and that he can release into that category of queen or reign with him. Okay? Let's start over here in Revelation chapter 5. I don't have them marked in my Bible either, so. Revelation 5. And if you don't want to turn there, if you want to just hear me read it, that's fine too. And if you want to just write down the reference, you can go back and look at it. So that way we can move along here. Revelation 5:10 says this, "And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Okay. So a lot of people are waiting to get saved and, you know, banana truck to hit him and they go to heaven, and then Jesus points out a throne and he goes, sit right there, that's for you. You're going to be a big shot up here. But this says we shall reign on the earth. You ever thought about that? I mean, reigning in heaven's easy. Everybody's easy. It's on the earth where that alright. So, Romans 5. We were in Revelation 5. Now we're going to Romans 5. Romans 5 and verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned, if by one man, talking about Adam, by one man's offense, death did what? It reigned. It didn't just win, it reigned. Okay? Death reigned by one. Much more, they who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Okay? So I wrote, who reigns? Not those who let death reign. What is death? Separation. Those who reign, those who have the victory, those who reign, those who have the victory, are those who have the victory over their life by Jesus Christ. Amen? All right. Verse 21 now. Last verse in chapter 5, Romans 5. That as sin hath, there it is again, reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So I wrote, notice the issue of reigning. It's not about telling people what to do. It's not about that telling them that they're wrong. It's not about dishing out punishment. Reigning is about letting Christ live, thereby defeating sin in your life. And it specifically in these are referring to sin. Okay? Now, I know that you think that sin is, you know, going out and robbing a bank or stealing something or, you know, whatever. I don't know, you know. But no, this is talking about living according to something other than Christ as your nature. Because everything that's not Christ is Adam, folks. In other words, you're not living by Christ. You say, but I'm one of the best people on the planet. Is it Christ? No, but I'm so good. And he's just going, you know, get out of here. Actually, he would be real kind. He would say, no, you head over to hell. I'm just messing with you, trying to get your attention still. It's about letting Christ live and defeating sin in your life. All right, flip over to Romans 6, verse 11 and 12. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. Okay, so he's saying you're dead, and it says, likewise, reckon yourselves also to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus. It didn't just say you're dead. It says you're alive, but it's through Jesus' life. Christ in you is your hope of glory. It's not just saying that, you know, to reckon yourself dead. But then it says, if Christ is your life, then don't let sin reign in your mortal body. Get rule and reign with Christ now. And again, it's not saying, you know, well, you know, you should be punished so da 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 because I have the authority because I'm a queen or I'm a king or I'm reigning with Jesus or whatever, or, you know, I'm going to point out that you're wrong because I have the authority to do that, or, you know, we need to clean this place up because I have the authority to do it. And I'll just tell you right now, you just check me out over the years and you check me out in the coming years. I don't rule and reign over anybody here. I have a hard enough time ruling and reigning over my own life, okay? When I feel something's the Lord, I tell you. And if you feel it's the Lord, we go there. I remember when we were on Bolivar, though, and this was early and I was just learning to be a pastor. And I remember the Lord shared something with me and I shared it with the body. I thought it was going to explode. I thought everybody's going to go, yeah, you know. And I said, let's go. And I went charging over the hill in the spirit. And I got to the top of the hill and I turned around and everybody's kind of going, I don't know. I learned a valuable lesson then. What was it? I learned that just because you hear something from God doesn't mean everybody else is going to hear it. And maybe you are with God on top of the hill trying to get him up there, and they're fooling around with other stuff. But you can't bring anybody. You can only release the word, and whosoever will come. I know people are waiting. People are going, well, I know I messed up. And I'm waiting for God to do something. I'm waiting for him to slap me down. But, you know, it's getting a little long now. It's been a while since I've even heard from him. Maybe he moved on. He went down the other side of the hill. You know. All right. So did we did. Okay. What I wrote on Romans 6:11-12, you dead but alive by Christ. Me, Tarzan, you dead, him alive. Don't let sin reign over you, let Christ. Okay, still in Romans 15 this time. Romans 15 and verse 12. You notice how many verse 12s we've had in this? Anyway, Romans 15 and verse 12. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root out of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the nations. To him shall the nations trust. Okay. So it describes him not as a king, and the king shall reign, but a root out of Jesse. In other words, reigning comes from oneness, not making a proclamation. I proclaim you in an office. I proclaim you king or queen. I proclaim you. I bestow upon you the title that gives you the right. God's kingdom isn't like that. It's not like that. You know? I mean, you know, I know my stepfather, when I was at home, he said, you know, well, this is my house and you do what I tell you. And so I found ways to not do what he said without him knowing it. You know. But when I had kids, I never used that phraseology. I never punished them. I whipped them or whatever, but I never punished them. I corrected them. And I sat down every time, and I made sure every time I said, this is not punishment. This is correction. My heart is that you'll follow Jesus and that you'll learn Christ in such a manner that these things you won't do them because you're learning Jesus, not because I'm the boss and you're going to do it. And I don't know, maybe once or twice in 40 years of ministry or something, 40 some odd years, 45, I've said to someone, we're going to do this because I said we're going to do it. I really doubt it. it just doesn't even sound like me. We're either going to do it because it's Christ or we're just not going to do it. That's what I began this sharing with. If we can't do the things we got to do around here by Christ, which I believe for the most part we do, I really do. But if we can't, then we just won't do them. Just why? You go, well, my kids don't have a youth group. We need to just start a youth group. Well, if the Lord's not ready to start a youth group, guess what? And that happened when my kids were that age. They were that age. And I said, we're not just going to start a youth group because my kids are that age and da-da-da-da. No one here has the burden, and it is the Lord in their heart to do it, so we're just not going to do it, and I'm going to trust the Lord with my kids. You're going, yeah, look how that worked out. Well, it could be a lot worse. All right. So root out of Jesse, that's what they call it. There shall arise a king, and his name shall be, and he shall rule over you. Now, you know, he's going to be the root out of somebody else. And one reigning comes from oneness. It comes from that. And again, not from proclamation, not from proclaiming somebody something that they're not. All right. 1 Corinthians 15, we only got three scriptures left. 1 Corinthians 15, 25. And actually, if you look at the clock, this is early for me still. If I quit right now, this isn't long. 1 Corinthians 15, 25. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. He must reign till he's put all enemies under his feet. We always think reigning is forcing the rebellious to do our bidding, or what I put in parentheses, or in what's right. Not my bidding, but what's right. Yes, it's absolutely what I want, but it's just what's right, because what I want is always right. Because, all right. So how does this king remove all enemies? How does this king remove all enemies? By reigning and spreading his reign until they are all governed by a different nature. You want me to read it again? How does this king remove all enemies? By reigning and spreading his reign until they are all governed by a different nature. He's not forcing the rebellious. Does that even sound like the Lamb of God? You're going, somebody here is thinking, oh, what about that scripture with the rod of iron? Well, the Lord's already shared with me. He needs to share with you. But you need to start approaching the scriptures by nature and finding the Lord and not an answer to stuff that's not the Lord. And he'll show you more stuff. Okay, back to 2 Timothy 2:12, and that's the one that says, if we suffer with him, we shall reign with him. Gosh, I guess I wrote this fast. Many have had to suffer, and this is true, all over the world people suffer. Many have had to suffer, and that doesn't qualify us. Everybody suffers, but to suffer with him in his Lamb spirit is to have first been a partaker of the Lamb. The suffering spoken of here is not an event. I'm suffering with him right now. No, it's not an event. To suffer with him is to bear about his nature. You bear about the dying of the Lord Jesus in your mortal flesh. It's not an event. It's not an event. Well, I'm going through a really rough time of suffering with Christ. Well, I would call that living, just being a Christian then. That's what I would call it. To suffer with him in the Lamb spirit is to qualify us to reign with him. If we cannot be with him in giving up our rights, privileges, and prestige so that the ones who took it from us might be saved, we cannot reign properly. Yes, I will definitely reign. If we cannot be with him in giving up our rights, privileges, and prestige so that the ones who took the rights, privilege, and prestige from us might be saved, we cannot properly reign with him. You know, I got one more scripture. But, you know, when Jesus was down here, I want you to think of this. He's completely different than us, right? All of our motives, everything about us was sin, wrong, everything. And he's walking among that and he said, that's wrong, that's wrong, this is wrong, that's wrong, this, that's wrong, this is wrong, that's wrong, this, that's wrong, this wrong. Everything's wrong. It's completely wrong. All of you are wrong. The 5,000 come and they go, 5,000, it's not just 5,000 wrongs, it's 5,000 every 3 seconds. Your thoughts, your attitudes, your da 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 da, wrong, 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 get me out of here, Father, take me now. How did he survive? How how do we survive? We see something every so often. I don't mean within ourselves. We see it in others. It's easy to spot in others. We can't spot stuff wrong in ourselves, hardly. We have to have the Holy Spirit point it out. But we can see it immediately. It's amazing. You know, I'm appalled. You are. You do the same thing. He that judges doeth the same thing. You go, well, I don't remember. Well, it doesn't matter. You wouldn't recognize it if it bit you in the butt. You do the same thing. He said it. You do it. Stop arguing with the truth. I could have said something else. I didn't. But I'm, what is it? Eccentric. Okay, Revelation 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. All right. So I'm not going to try to explain most theologians' view of, well, the first death is this and the second death. I'm going to try to approach this from simply the truth of Christ in you and the truth that we have seen in every scripture leading up to this. Okay, all of them leading up to this. All right. So I wrote, if you're raised out of the first death, which is the cross, if you've gone down into death, or we can just go to 2 Timothy again, 2, 11 and 12, I think it was, or 12 and 13. And it says, if you die with him, you shall live with him. If you suffer, you shall reign. Okay? So if you're raised out of the first death, which is the cross, which is your death, if you die with him, you will live with him. If you're raised up out of the first death, the cross, it means that you went through it in his spirit. You understand. The Lamb, I was one with the Lamb. Even if I didn't live it, he lived it. He gave himself. I went through this with him. And out from that death, like Paul, the life I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith, the same faith that the Son of God lived by, who loved me, and here's his faith, he loves me. Who loved me by giving himself for me, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I, Christ liveth in me. That's Galatians 2:20, second half first. So there is this place where if you've actually gone through the cross and you understand not just I'm dead, but you understand the death and you understand the Lamb and you understand the selflessness of it, then you're raised up with him. Okay? And the second death, thank you. And the second death is going to be, well, let me just read what I got here. The second death, physical, has no power over you. Therefore, you shall reign. Why? Because what is Lamb's wife is what he allows to reign with him, not Vashti. Okay. So you have no fear of the second death. You have no fear of it because you've already passed through death that counts. You've passed through the death that counts. And you've passed through it with him. And you've come out part of him, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, vehicle of his nature. You let Christ live in you. Second death comes, it doesn't have any dominion over you. And out of that one, you're going to reign. The second death, physical, has no power over you. Therefore, you shall reign. Why? Because what is Lamb's wife is what he allows to reign with him, not Vashti. All right, so what was all this babbling about? Well, it's not about a sermon. It's about stuff that the Lord shared with me and has stirred my heart. And he said, keep stirring. Just like Scott leading the worship, keep stirring the pot. Just like, you know, the words that came forth from the Lord during the worship. Keep stirring. I cannot just not want Christ living in me. And if to whatever degree, whatever passion I have, that I want to stamp out everything that's not Christ, as your pastor, I have to have that same spirit towards you. Meaning I have to want you I must have the same passion that I want you to have it also. But where does that passion come from? It's the Lord's. It's not ours. It's not any of us. It's the Lord's. And it's his timing. And it's his time. It's his time. And we need to give it to him. And we need to be serious. And we need to just keep pressing on. And we need to keep looking at every aspect. I mean, this Esther thing, man, we barely got into it. You know, over the years, I've read a lot of books on Esther, and I've never heard anybody comment on this queen bride thing. I've never heard that. Well, I heard it from the Holy Spirit, and I heard it a couple of months ago. And this is the Lord's heart for us right now. This is the Lord's heart for us. Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus. We don't want to be lied about anything. We want to seek you with all of our heart. And if we do seek you, you said if we seek you with all our heart, you shall be found by us. Lord, we're so used to being half-hearted. We're so used to it. But we want that stirred. We want the coals that still have fire on them to be stirred so it'll light everything else in there, in our heart. We want this to be your time, Jesus. And Father, we say that. We want it to be his time. Holy Spirit, we say that. We want it to be Jesus' time. That he can get what is his, what pleases him. And that we could lay down what pleases us, what gives us rights, what gives us honor among men or whatever. We can lay down anything just to show him the true spirit of his nature reflecting back. We ask you to keep working on us, Holy Spirit, bringing forth Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. You can turn it off.